Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Permission to Speak, How to Change, What Power Sounds Like. Starting With You by Samara Bay is a nonfiction book about voice, communication, and the social meanings attached to sounding authoritative. Positioned at the intersection of self-help, public speaking, and social critique, it argues that the problem is not simply how individuals speak, but the narrow cultural idea of what powerful speech is supposed to sound like. Bay draws on her work as a speech coach and public speaking expert to show how people, especially women and other historically excluded speakers, internalize rules about volume, pitch, emotion, and polish. The book combines practical speaking strategies with a broader challenge to gendered and racialized norms in leadership communication. Rather than treating voice as a fixed trait, it frames speaking as something shaped by habit, context, and permission. Its purpose is both personal and structural help readers sound more like themselves, while also questioning the standards that decide whose voice is trusted. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, recasting power as something voice can reshape, not merely imitate. A central idea in the book is that power has a sound, and that sound has been defined too narrowly for too long. Bay argues that many people learn to copy an institutional style of authority that favors steadiness, control, and a reduced emotional range. That model can reward conformity while discouraging authenticity. The book does not ask readers to abandon influence. Instead, it asks them to reconsider the relation between influence and self-erasure. By treating voice as a site of power rather than a neutral delivery tool, Bay makes a practical argument communication becomes more effective when speakers stop trying to match a single template and instead use a voice that is both credible and natural. This matters because authority is often assessed before content is fully heard. The book, therefore, links vocal style to access, leadership, and belonging, showing how changing sound can change how a person is perceived in professional and public settings. Secondly, the voice story as a hidden script that shapes how people speak. One of the book's most useful concepts is the voice story, meaning the internal and cultural narratives people absorb about how they sound and what their sound is supposed to mean. Bay suggests that many speaking habits are not purely technical problems, but learned responses to judgment, class expectations, gender norms, and past feedback. A person may lower the voice to seem serious, soften it to seem agreeable, or suppress emotion to avoid being read as unprofessional. By naming these patterns, the book gives readers a way to separate habit from identity. That distinction is important because it creates room for change without shame. Rather than asking why someone sounds wrong, the book asks what story taught them to sound that way. This reframing deepens the book beyond standard speaking advice. It treats communication as a layered psychological and social process, where self-perception and audience perception constantly interact. Thirdly, practical preparation for high-stakes speaking moments. The book is not only a critique of voice norms, it is also a hands-on guide for moments when speaking matters most. Bay emphasizes preparation routines that ready the body, mind, and voice before a pitch, presentation, interview, or difficult conversation. This focus reflects a realistic understanding that high-stakes speech is not improved by confidence alone. Speakers often need concrete ways to settle nerves, find breath, and enter the room with more ease. The value of this approach is that it turns communication into a repeatable practice rather than a mysterious talent. Readers are encouraged to develop short pre-speaking rituals and to observe how physical readiness affects clarity and presence. The book's method is especially useful because it does not require a performance persona. Instead of teaching people to become louder or more polished in a generic sense, it supports a more grounded transition into speech that is deliberate, embodied, and adaptable to the situation. Fourthly, reinterpreting vocal fry, upspeak, and emotional tone as context-dependent choices, Bay pays close attention to speech features that are often criticized, especially in women's voices, such as vocal fry, upspeak, and heightened emotional expression. The book challenges the idea that these features are inherently signs of weakness or incompetence. Instead, it places them in context. Speakers often use them strategically, unconsciously, or as part of a broader effort to manage risk and social judgment. That analysis is important because it shifts the conversation from correction to interpretation. If a speech pattern is understood as a response to pressure, then the real issue is not the pattern itself, but the norms that make certain voices easier to dismiss. The book does not claim that all habits are equally effective in every setting. Rather, it argues that effective speech depends on awareness of what a habit does and why it is being used. This makes the book more nuanced than simple advice about sounding professional, because it asks readers to examine how standards of professionalism can themselves be biased. Lastly, why authenticity in speech is presented as strategic, not merely expressive. A distinctive feature of the book is its refusal to separate authenticity from effectiveness. Bay repeatedly frames sounding like oneself as a strategic advantage, not a sentimental ideal. This matters because many people are taught that authenticity must be sacrificed in order to be taken seriously. The book disputes that trade-off. It suggests that when speakers relax into a voice that reflects their real energy, they often communicate with greater clarity, warmth, and conviction. That does not mean every unfiltered impulse should be spoken aloud. Instead, the book promotes informed self-expression, knowing when to soften, when to expand, and when to resist shrinking. This is where the book differs from purely inspirational communication advice. It treats authenticity as something disciplined and usable, connected to impact rather than self-display. The result is a framework that can help readers make practical decisions about tone, audience, and presence without losing a sense of personal integrity. In conclusion, Permission to Speak is best suited for readers who want more than standard public speaking advice. It will be especially valuable for women, people of color, emerging leaders, educators, coaches, and professionals who have been told, explicitly or implicitly, that their natural voice is too much, too little, too emotional, or not authoritative enough. The book offers practical benefits. It helps readers notice ingrained speech habits, prepare for important conversations, and speak with more ease under pressure. It also offers intellectual value by showing how voice is shaped by culture, bias, and learned expectations. What makes it stand out in the crowded communication genre is its combination of coaching and critique. Many books focus only on confidence, delivery, or persuasion. Bay goes further by asking why certain sounds are treated as powerful in the first place, and who is expected to conform to them. That wider frame gives the book lasting relevance. It is useful not only for speaking better, but for understanding how power is heard, granted, and sometimes denied. If you would like to support Samara Bay, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.